is our first shir. The Sefer Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Hutner, Zichrono Livracha. So Pachad Yitzchak in general was a very unique Sefer, very trailblazing Sefer in its time. Yitzchak Hutner, Zichrono Livracha, was a Talmud in Slabodki Yeshiva, originally from Varsha, and he was, before the war, he learned Slabodka significantly, but not significantly before the war, but before the war, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael, to Hebron. Now, Rav Yitzchak was a super, super brilliant individual, and a very, very big tzaddik. Additionally, in addition to being in Slabodka and writing the incredible Sefer Torah HaNazir and other svarim that he wrote, just complete goyness in the svarim that he wrote, he's also a very heiligiyit. He's a big tzaddik and he's a big makubal. I don't mean makubal like a svaradi makubal, but a person, Teres HaGro, he knew Kisvei Ari, and he was able to create a type of Torah in the derech of the Maharal, in the derech of the Goyin, and the derech of certain the Polish tzaddikim from Kotsk and these places. And he said, my mother in yeshiva, very deep concepts, all based on Pnimiyas HaTorah, based on more esoteric parts of the Torah, but without using those Lashonis, without using those that type of language of Pnimiyas HaTorah, but explaining the concepts and the depth of them in a more of a philosophical terminology that we could ask, that we could grasp and understand. And the Sfarim are Hafla fella, and they changed the lives of many people. And Futner had to start his yeshiva not in Lakewood, not some faraway place, Maj in Brooklyn, in the city. And he took Bachrim that were from the city, and he took Bachrim who were from very known Balapatisha homes, and he made them into Gedolei Torah, like the Shiva Ben Shechter Shlita, the Shiva Benison, the Benison David, and of Shlomo Freifeld, and of Bill David, and of David Cohen, or Fivel Cohen, and people are Mamish, or Billy Weintraub, or now Mamish Gedolei Elam, or some of them are not alive anymore. But people who mamish shine the world with the koyach of their Torah, and that was the merit of Rav Yitzchak Hutner, his koyach of delivering Torah and being and his warmth and his demand of you to grow and to shtag. I never knew Rav Yitzchak Hutner; he was just nifter months after I was born. But my oldest son Yitzchak is named after him, and we're going to venture to understand something about the end of Rosh Hashanah based on the holy Sefer Pachad Yitzchak. Good. Okay. Everybody can hear me? Rav Hutner points out an amazing thing. And we're not going to read it inside, word by word, because the language that Rav Hutner uses is sometimes very complicated, very complex. And I think if we say it outside, we're going to grasp it in a more meaningful way. But we have this farm in front of us, so you can see and look inside if you want to. Now, Rav Hutner writes like this. We find an amazing chiddush, a very unique idea they find specifically on Rosh Hashanah. Like the Pasuk says, this is in Sefer Nehemiah, the Amalek told them, Lechu, go, Ichlu Mashmanim, eat fatty meat, drink sweet drinks, Vashochu Monis, Le Nocholai. And send gifts to those people that don't have. And that pasuk Chazal teach us, that pasuk was referring to Rosh Hashanah. They told the Olam that was coming back from Bavel, he was telling them, go and do chesed Rosh Hashanah, eat mashmanim, drink sweet drinks, and go and give gifts to people that don't have. So l'chayra, giving gifts to people that don't have, what does that do with Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, we know Zim Hadin, the day of Malchus Shamayim, we blow shofar, and it's a day mash full of pachad, of yira. But we see in this pasuk a new aspect, a new bechina of Rosh Hashanah that, until now, none of us ever entered our minds. That seemingly, according to this pasuk, there's an inyan, a concept, an aveda of doing chesed and Rosh Hashanah. Like there's a connection, the midas of chesed and Rosh Hashanah. Give gifts, lay nochalay, something that doesn't have. What does chesed have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Okay? So that's how Avner starts off the Maimer and is going to venture to explain this primistic akesher, this inner, more like esoteric dimension of Rosh Hashanah and what has that midas chesed. But understand the kesher, the connection between Rosh Hashanah and the midas chesed, you have to first understand what Rosh Hashanah is. You have to understand what chesed is. And if you ever understand Pachad Yitzchak and the depths of the Torah Kedesha, then you have to have the ability to temporarily forget what you know until now and allow the hasogas and the depths and the profoundness of Rav Huttner enter your minds and your hearts. Then you can grasp it. Because I guarantee you, you never understood Rosh Hashanah like this, you never understood Chesed like this, and you never understood what the Bris Avraham Avinu is, as we're going to describe it, because all of our lives, we live very superficially. And our grasp, understanding, our appreciation, as the Rishiva would say, our appreciation of Torah and Mitzvahs is very childish, and very superficial, without any real depth of a perception, of understanding, the roots of Yom Tovim, the roots of Yiddishkeit, where the roots are in Torah, the roots are in the Olamos Elyonim, in the higher realms, and the abstract realms that we don't have access to necessarily. But by means of learning this, we're going to understand now new hasogas, new understandings, new profoundness, new iris, new light that we never understood existed in the world of Torah. Okay? So we're venturing on a new universe. Like you ask, what is Pachad Yitzchak? You're going to see what it is. But you have to have the ability to allow the ideas to penetrate and understand them, and you'll see they'll be affected with such an eremimus, with such a upliftingness and exaltedness, if you allow it to enter your minds, and through your minds, to enter your heart. Good? The Pasuk says, Rosh Hashanah, Tikum HaChodesh Shofar. Blow in the month the shofar. Bekeseh l'yom chagenu. Now, bekeseh, he brings here, there's many, the Rishon and the Mefarshim have different ideas. What does it mean, bekeseh l'yom chagenu? What does keseh mean? Keseh is the language of a cover, of a kisui, right? So no matter how the various Rishonim or Achreinim and Mefarshim explain, what does it mean, bekeseh l'yom chagenu? The Pashat Pshat means the covering of the day of our Chag, the day of our Yom Tov. So you see that there's a connection between, so it means the moon is covered, yeah, okay. But we see there's a deep connection between the idea of covering something and Rosh Hashanah. Bekeseh l'yom chagenu, and the covering of our Yom Tov. I mean, there's a certain inyan of kisui. A covering is like this, that if you have something that you want to hide away and to protect, you mechasa, you cover it. For example, if you have a candy that you want to save and eat later, and you want ants to come, anybody to come and get it, take a cup, and you mechasa it. You cover the candy with a cup, right? Meaning you cover it. That's the idea of the avodah of mechasa, covering. So you can copy and put it over, whatever it is. So, Bekeseh Chagenu, you see here, the fact that Pasuk puts Rosh Hashanah and Keseh together, Rav Huttner understands, and clearly it's true, there's a connection between Rosh Hashanah and Kisui, and the covering of something. So you have to understand, what does that mean exactly? If you're going to look at Rosh Hashanah, if you're going to compare the Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Purim, Chanukah, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Chamish Da'as B'Shvat, Mishnah Ba'av, whatever the Yom Tovim are, if you're going to compare the various Yom Tovim, you would say that Rosh Hashanah is a hidden Yom Tov, a Yom Tov with a cover on it, and the other Yom Tovim are revealed Yom Tovim. The Kesev Chagenu is something that's discussing specifically Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah has the character and the format of being covered and hidden, as opposed to all the other Yom and Tevim. Don't have that format, don't have that character, rather they're revealed. So understand, what does it mean? Rosh Hashanah is a concealed Yom Tev, a covered up Yom Tev. Mashen Gile Yom Tev, Yom Tev, a revealed Yom Tev. So far so good? So now, we're going to try and describe what this means. Rosh Hashanah is a hidden Yom Tev, a covered Yom Tev, and all the Yom Tevim are revealed Yom Tevim. So Frender brings here a Davar Neira. He brings this Medrash many times in Sefer Pachin Yitzchak. I heard this from the Rishiv Rabban Shachter many times. But there's a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kvod Elohim Haster Davar. The covered one offers to Hashem, to Elohim, is Haster Davar, is hiding something, to hide a thing. Kvod Malachim, but the covered for Malachim, the honor for kings, Chakor Davar, is to investigate it and to look at something. Kvod Elohim Haster Davar, the covered of Elohim is hiding something away. Kvod Malachim, but the honor given to the kings, Chakor Davar, that's you have to investigate and look at it. Meaning, a king, let's say a king has money, right? So a king has money, let's say he has 1,000,000 gold coins. So to say, oh, he has a lot of gold coins. Let's say you give the covet to the king. Let's say the king has 1, 2, 3, you count them out, 6 billion gold coins. That's how chashuv a king is, right? Chakor davar, how many gems does he have? How many palaces does he have? How many cars does he have? How many suits or whatever does he have? That's the covet for malachim. The covenant for kings. There's a covenant of Elohim where there's a type of covenant where you don't talk about it. You don't talk about something that... What is that? Right. Sometimes to investigate it, it's like, who are you to even look at it? Right? Meaning, I remember one time, Dershiv Rabban Shachter Shlita, there's something that is very busy with this. That there's a Maisa, I don't know if it's true, I heard this Maisa many times, that one of the Rishiva's children was going to Tzfas. He called up his son, he was living and learning Eretz Yisrael. So what are you doing for Shabbos? I'm going to Tzfas. The Rishiva told him, so did you like prepare for it? Like you did tshuva, you prepared, you're going to Tzfas. And he said, no, I'm just going to Tzfas. You can't just go to Tzfas. Who invited you? You're just going to Tzfas? It says the Makom Kodesh. It says the Ariel Kodesh, the Ramak, the Bezeziv, they're in Tzfas. You just, who are you to go in such a holy place? Especially if you didn't make any, prepare yourself for it. How can you just go? Right? Meaning, there's a certain type of covet you give something saying, I don't belong there. Not because it's a bad place. That place is way too hailing for me to go in. The Beis HaMikdash. Right? Okay, you know what, kids? Let's go do this. What are you going to do today? Oh, let's go to the Beis HaMikdash. Ah, no, that's not what you do. You don't go to the Beis HaMikdash. You have to be tohar. You have to dress in a certain way. You can't wear your shoes. You have to go to the mikveh. Meaning this dinim. You can't just go. Because places that are place of hashras hashchina, place of kedusha, you can just go there whenever you want to. You don't belong there. Kvod Elokim has to cover. That place is a place where I don't belong unless there's certain conditions that I can go there. That's also a way of giving covet to something. Understand that? So see here that there's two types of covet in the world. Like the Rishiv Yisrael is giving an example that the relationship that one has with his wife is not something that's for public consumption. If that is something that's discussed and talked about with a person's friends, or everything, then that totally killed the Rishivis and the beauty of a person's yachas with his wife. Meaning certain things that it's so chashuv, I don't talk about it. It's so important, so precious, I don't talk about it. It's just for me and you. I don't discuss with anybody. That's kvod Elokim haster davar. That type of covet is, this is for no one else except for me and you. That's also covet. There's other types of covet where it's for everybody. And look how great it is. Look at this. That's covet. No, that covet. No. Is that for anybody else besides me and you? Right? The Rishiv used to say, he probably doesn't say it anymore, he's not so well, but back in the good old days when the Rishiv was in his strength, The yeshiva is to say that your avodas Hashem, your relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom is your business. It's not for anybody else to know that. Your tzitzit, I would ask the yeshiva, should I go to the mikvah second day Shavuos? Should I go to the mikvah second day Shavuos? The yeshiva told me, that's your decision. I can't help you on that. I said, what does the yeshiva do? The yeshiva said, what do you care what I do? What I do is my business. My avodas Hashem is not your business. But what I do with your Rebbeinu Shalom has nothing to do with you. It's my, it's to me, Hashem is Baruch, and it's not, you're not part of this. Kvado Kim Master Dava. My relationship with your Rebbeinu Shalom is my business. And if I tell it over to you, so I killed it. I killed the Cheshivas that it once had. The Cheshivas is, it's been me and Hashem, and no one else applies to this. There's nothing, like, for example, Shabbos Kodesh, right? When the Malachim come, so Shalom Aleichem, Vayachem, Shalom, Bachin, Shalom, it says Chim Shalom. Go away. What's so bad if the Malachim stay? What's so bad if the Malachim stay? Teischem Hashalom, they kick him out. Now there are some Nuschais that doesn't say Teischem Hashalom. But the way the general standard Ashkenaz way would say Teischem Hashalom. Why are you kicking them out? Because Shabbos Kodesh is an intimate time between us and Hashem Yisbach. And no one else belongs there, not even Malachim. It's the way you treat such a chash of a thing is to hide it from everybody else. It's so precious, you hide it away. For example, if you have a precious ring, it's precious jewelry, a woman has her most precious bracelet, precious necklace. You don't wear it all the time. On very chash of events, you wear it. Because it's chashivus is that you only wear it in certain times, otherwise it's hidden away. I mean, hiding something away and keep, that is one of the deepest, most profound ways of giving kavod to something is keeping it away for public consumption. It says kavod elokim hastadover. One type of kavod is hiding it away. And kavod malachim, another type of kavod is chakodover, to investigate it and check it out and see how great it is. Two different things. Now the shaila is that when does which thing apply? When is something in the category of Kvod Elokim Haster Dover? And when is something Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover? The Kvod for King, Kvod for Kings is to investigate it. So for that explanation, Futter brings a Medrash. The Medrash says, from Bracious until Vayechulu, which is the entire Maisa Bracious, the entire realm of creation, from Bracious to Vayechulu, that's Kvod Elokim Haster Dover. That's something that's hidden away. That's, you don't talk about that. From Vayechulu and on, that's Kvod Malachim Chakodavar. Then you go out and investigate it and talk about it. Something that's relevant to Maisa Bracious, something that's relevant to creation, the covenant for that thing is, according to the Medrash, that's Kvod Elokim Hastadavar. Hide it away. We don't talk about Maisa Bracious. We don't discuss it. It's not something that we investigate. But from Maisa Bracious and on, Vayechulu, until the end of the Torah Kedusha, that's Kvod Malachim Chakor Davar. Meaning like this. Or in the other language, can you hear me? In other terms, just for us to grasp it, he's going to use these terms also. Let's say Primius HaTorah, Sisrei Torah, Kabbalah, if you want to call it that. Right? So, Primus HaTorah is something not so relevant to halacha necessarily, even though in certain areas there is relevant to halacha, but it's something relevant to the way that Hashem Yisrael created the world. You're discussing the Elomis, there's worlds that existed before our world exists, right? So there were Elom Atzilus and Bria and Yetzira and Elom Hamalbush and all these other things, say the Shtalshus and Spheres and Partzufim, things that are not in our world, things that precede the existence of our world. That's Kvod Elokim Haster Dover. That's something that those, that's a Torah that's related to Maisa Bracious. That's for Bracious and the Vayechulu. And those things, Haster Dover, that you hide away. The cover for that, the Chelek of Torah, is exact to hide away, not to talk about it. But from then and on, Halacha, Nigla, Torbe Sesev, Shas and Paiskim, Kseis, Nesim, Zukiv, Eger, Rav Tolly and Rav Chaim and etc. etc. The comfort for that Torah is to learn it, berabim, and to teach everybody and talk about it. That's kvod melachim, chakor dover. Okay, kvod elokim, haster dover. Things relevant to ma'aseh brachos, that's something you hide away. From vayichu and on, after brachos, after our world, so then the kvod melachim, chakor dover, to learn and understand it. No, not at all. That's a good nekuda, but I don't want to talk about it now. It's a good shaila. It's a good point, but I don't want to talk about it right now. So now, he says like this. Now, the Rishiva told me in a maimer one time, and by Shalshunas, the Rishiva spoke about it, that this is really the etzem yusod of tznias. The yusod of tznias is, why is it that we tznias is such an important thing for us? Tznias. Modesty. The pshat is because the relation between male and female, husband and wife, is the exact thing that can produce a child, right? So the closest thing that a person could get to ma'aseh brachos, to the creation of the creation, Hashem is our creator of the world, the closest thing that we could do to imitate, to copy ma'aseh brachos, is having a child. So since the yachas, the relationship between ish and isha, culminates in the creation of a child, so that's negay relevant to ma'aseh brachos. What's relevant to ma'aseh brachos? The kvod melachim has to daver. Then that's kvod elokim has to daver. Has to be hidden away. The mechabed and gufa is hidden away, not to talk about it. That's something ma'aseh brachos that has to be hidden away. That's not for public consumption. And the more it becomes a public eye, the more degraded and wry it becomes. So Rav Hunter continues, "Vayitz is a meridic thing." This that we say, "Kavod Elokim has to daver," and therefore things that are relevant to ma'aseh brachos have to be hidden away. It doesn't just mean that we shouldn't talk about it in public, and we shouldn't learn it with somebody else because then it's a. Says the central character of the Torah. Is a hidden type of Torah. Is it's given over differently, it tastes differently, it's appreciated differently. And he explains like this. The pasuk says, Dvash v'cholov tachas ha'shoinich. Dvash v'cholov tachas ha'shoinich. It's underneath your tongue. In general, cholov, milk, represents giving over something, right? The mother gives food to a child, sasa and child, through her milk, through her cholov. Dvash, honey is, when I taste something, that's what it tastes like to me. I receive something, and that's how it tastes to me. So talking about Sisrei Torah, the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin brings this in his Pirush on Sabbath at Tzniyasa, and the Zohar Kodesh says that Pasek, Dvash, Ravuna doesn't bring this here, but that's where he's coming from, seemingly, is Dvash b'chol tachas ha'shoinich, that's referring to Primus HaTorah. That's referring to Kabbalah. Says a meridic thing. Dvash v'cholav, the taste of it, and cholav, the way of giving it over, like a mother gives over to a child with milk. Normally, when you talk and taste, it's on the top of your tongue. When you speak, you're speaking on the top of your tongue. When you taste, you're tasting on the top of your tongue. But it's primus ha'Torah, dvash v'cholav, tachas l'shoinich. The milk and the honey, the giving of it over, the way you give it over, and the taste of it is under your tongue. Tachas Hashoinich. The pshat is that the appreciation of it, the taste of Pnimis HaTorah has different taste than Nigla HaTorah. And the way of giving all Pnimis HaTorah is different. It's a different Torah. It's not just, oh, it's a secret. No, the Rishiv used to say, Sodis HaTorah, secrets of the Torah, not a secret. Like, oh, don't tell anybody. Like, it's the same thing, just we don't talk about it. But the pshat. Pshat is that it's the innermost depths of the Torah HaKadosha, and therefore, the character of it is a hidden character. It tastes hidden, and it's given over the hidden way. That's just a secret I want you to know. Because it's a type of Torah that is so deep and so profound, relevant to ma'aseh brachos, the taste of it is hidden, and the giving over of it is hidden. It's a different character completely of the Torah. So the Rebbeinu goes weiter, says like this, all of the other Yom Tovim, Yom Kippur, what happened to Yom Kippur? That's what Gadlu Chashniyas. Pesach, Sias Mitzrayim. Sukkis is also relevant to Tzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos is Matan Terach. Chanukah was the Maizah of the Yevonim. Purim is the Maizah against the Pisces, the Persians. All of the Yomim Tevim are relevant to the end of creation and on. To the end of creation and on. After creation. Rosh Hashanah is creation. Shana was. So Rosh Hashanah is creation. You have to make a divide in the understanding of life. There's one stage of Maaseh Bereishis, of the creation of the world, and there's a whole other stage in the existence and the running the world after it's been created. Right? So he says here, the rest of the Yomim Tovim are when the world exists. There's an existence, and now there's a way the world runs, and all the Yomim Tovim exist in that dimension. Rosh Hashanah is the creation of the world itself. Since Rosh Hashanah is the creation of the world, Rosh Hashanah exists in the realm of creation, not in the realm of existence. So automatically, since it's relevant to creation, it's a hidden Yom Tov. Because Kvod Elokim has to daven. Once we're discussing in Yoni Bracious, in Yoni of creation, it's something that's hidden away. Come from a different realm that we don't have access to. It's a realm beyond our understanding. That's Rosh Hashanah is different than all the other Yom Tov. Understand this? It's a Meridika idea. We have to imagine, appreciate, and understand. That there's two dimensions of life. There's the dimension of creation, from the beginning of creation until it's done, the creation. Then there's the existence of the world afterwards. I'll give you an example. Let's say when a person is going to make a website, right? You make websites, right? Sort of? All right. Let's say you make websites. So originally, you think about how am I going to make this website? Where I want this website to become? What I want? What is the goal of this website, right? You always start with the goal. What is the end goal of this website? Fine. Now, what is the functionality of this website going to be? How am I going to create this website? What are the various features going to be? Now that I've figured the entire thing out, now I'm going to start making the website. So the original part of the website exists in the machshava, exists in the abstract world inside of your head. That's the goal of it. And what I'm going to gain from it, the goal of it, how I'm going to do it, that'll exist in a different dimension. Now you do it all in your head. Then you start to do it. Then you have the actual existence of the website. The two different dimensions of the website. There's the abstract part of it, the olam hamachshava, the thought that goes into it, then the actual website. So creation is the same thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam first decided he wants a world. That he wants a world that exists in the olam hamachshava. That would exist in Hashem Yisroch's thoughts. That's not something you could see, touch, feel, or anything. And then there's the world as we know it. Existence as it is that we can see, touch, and feel. All the Yomim Tovim, besides Rosh Hashanah, exist in the second world that we can feel and touch. Yom Kippur comes from this Indian. Chanukah comes from this. Purim came from this event. Pesach comes from this event. Sukkot comes from this event. Purim comes, Shavuos comes from this event. There's one event that comes to the Olam HaMachshava, the thought process of Hashem going through to create the world. And Maaseh Bereishis itself, that's Rosh Hashanah. Anything related to Maaseh Bereishis is hidden away. Anything after Maaseh Bereishis is revealed. So that's a pshat, because of Yom Chageinu. Rosh Hashanah has the end of a kisui. It's hidden. It's covered up. Because Rosh Hashanah comes from a much deeper source than all the other Yom Tovim come. Is this clear? Fine. So now we understand the end of Rosh Hashanah a little bit deeper. Rosh Hashanah comes from the end of Machshava. Rosh Hashanah comes from the world, the dimension that exists before creation. Rosh Hashanah exists in the world of Pnimiyas HaTorah. Rosh Hashanah exists in the world of Maaseh Bereishis. So it's the role of Kvod Elokim has to daven. That's where Rosh Hashanah comes from. Hidden away. We don't understand what Rosh Hashanah is. We don't grasp what Rosh Hashanah is because it's beyond. It's like someone seeing your website, but that person sees creation. But doesn't know what you went through to get there. Huh? It's Neira, above, beyond. That's Rosh Hashanah. That's step one. Now we have a little grasp. It's a little bit of what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is you going back to the Shoresh of existence. Why is Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin? Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin because Rosh Hashanah, you're going back to the creation. The world's been created again. I'm now in Maaseh Bereishis. Shem Zohar says, now I'm in Maaseh Bereishis, so I have to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do to Singer in Tavshin Pei B'Gimel? I'm creating the world now. You're living in my separations. Now living in the dimension. Rosh Hashanah is not, it's a Yom HaDin Gufa, because now I'm in the Shoresh of existence. I'm in the Shoresh of creation. So Mela, when Hashem was creating it, so he has to define, how am I going to create it? When are we going to get to Simcha Chabinsky this year? Or Barry Wolick? Or Far Marlow? A singer? What's he going to give to all of us? So it's not the Yom HaDin because the Yom HaDin. It's the Yom HaDin is a product of the fact that I'm now Oiches, and I'm grabbing the reality of my separations. That's what Shana is. Now, what is Rosh Hashanah? My separations. That's what it is. The fact that Sayyim Adin and Shofar and Kisei Rachamim, those are all products, byproducts of the fact of what Shana is. So we can't look at Rosh Hashanah as the day just Hashem is there judging us. That's true. But why is that? He's judging us because we're existing now in the world of before Bria Sa'ilam. We're existing now in the world of the Shoresh of what Rosh Hashanah is. That's how everyone explains. That's in Rosh Hashanah. That's Chelek Aleph. Chelek Beis. Our question was, because it's, remember we started off a pasuk in Nehemiah that says the Aveda of Rosh Hashanah, when I ask what the Aveda is, Shaleach Monos. No, that's in Purim, but close. The Lashon is Shalach Monos Le'Nochin Lo. Send gifts to those that don't have. And that's referring to Rosh Hashanah. So we said there's a connection to Chesed and Rosh Hashanah. So we said if we understand the real depths of what's going on over here, so we have to understand two things. Number one, understand what Rosh Hashanah is, which we tried to at least scratch the surface of what Rosh Hashanah is. And we said, and we have to know what Chesed is. The Chesed, and it told the Elohim, the Chesed is something more profound, much greater than you've ever understood. Because our lives until now has been superficial. But you're venturing to the world of Pachad Yitzchak. You're venturing to the world of Pachad Yitzchak. You now have the opportunity to see Eiris and Hasogas and grasps that you never thought were there. And now you're going to appreciate things like an adult, as the Rishim would say. You're going to appreciate something like a Bardas, a person of intelligence. And the Rishim would say, sophisticated and aristocratic. That's the Rishim's language. That's what he used to always say. So now we're part Perek Beis, understand what Chesed is. And once you understand what Shoshana is, then you understand what Chesed is, then you're going to look at this pasuk and say, well, obviously, you do Chesed Rosh Hashanah. It's so obvious. But it's always so obvious when you understand what it is. But we're not going to start because we're not going to very far. But B'Shem, by next week, we'll decide to understand what in Chesed is. And it's going to be very clearly apparent what the connection is to Chesed Rosh Hashanah and our Avodah Rosh Hashanah, how it's going to change our lives. And B'Shem, we'll continue next week.